Well, I'd like to say this before I get started. It is a real joy to be with you, and I appreciate you allowing me to come. And thank the Lord for all of you that are here today. And we thank you. I want to say this before I get started. Don't ever give up on your miracle. If you need a miracle, don't ever give up on it. God is still a miracle-working God. He works miracles. And you know, I know sometimes it can look like there's no way your body will cry out and say, there isn't any way that I can receive a miracle, but God still works miracles, you know. I'll just give this little short testimony for our minister, but a few months ago, I went to a church. Actually, I went to the church a year, at the first of the year in January, and when I got up to preach, there was a man in the wheelchair that I didn't know what was wrong with him. But during the service, I didn't have any kind of manifestation whatsoever concerning him or his situation. I called, you know, as we were praying for the sick, and he never come up, so I didn't feel led to go to him. He didn't come up, so I figured, well, you know, he didn't want me to pray for him. You can't heal anybody. That's the first thing I learned a long time ago. We cannot heal anybody. We can lay hands and pray in faith, but we still can't heal anybody. So the service went on. But then in July, I came back, and as soon as I was walking in the building, I hadn't walked in the building 5 minutes and sat down, I had an open-eye vision. And in that vision, I saw his back. I saw a severe, severe, severe back problem. I'm talking about so severe, he was in that wheelchair and couldn't get out. Well, at the end of the service, I called for, you know, we started praying for the sick, and I called out what I saw. He came up. He came right up, prayed for him, probably 30 seconds. Went on praying for other people. I turned around and looked, and he got up and walked out of his wheelchair. And he was standing and giving God praise and glory for it. You see, so God is in the miracle-working business, and don't give up. So your body, your mind, your emotions will say that it'll never happen to me. But see, you're going to have to work against that. And the older you get, you'll have to really keep your mind renewed to the fact just because your body's getting old doesn't mean that God cannot perform a miracle in your body. You see, Jesus walked up to a man that had been crippled and for 38 years, you know, his whole life. And he didn't have a man to help him. Didn't have no doctors. Nobody could help him. But Jesus said, would you be made whole? He said, yes. He said, get up. Amen. Well, anyway, we're not going to preach on healing this morning. Now, tonight I have a little more lively service, but this morning I really felt led to preach on pride, the great deceiver. Now, it's important, and I'll go in. See, pride goes into more areas than people realize. But especially today, you have to really be careful to not let pride get in the heart of your thinking. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. And that's what's supposed to be in your thinking. You're supposed to think wisdom, act wisdom, talk wisdom, and speak godly, skillful wisdom. You see, we're always to draw from our spirit, not from our head. You see, so we're going to get into that area, and then we're going to have an altar call, and we're going to let all of you repent, and then we'll let you go home. And then I'll be standing here with you. So, but anyway, the pride really has to do a lot with strife, and that's what I'm going to get into. It really has to do, strife really is the main thing that flows behind pride. But turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13:10. We thank you, Brother Jim, Pastor. We appreciate you being here, Brother Lewis. You know, I used to listen to Brother Jim on radio. I loved to tune in to him. I mean, every chance I got, I always tuned in to him. He always had a good word from the Lord. Always. I mean, I never tuned in that I didn't get a good word from God, you know. And then Brother Lewis, you know, when he pastored, I really enjoyed his ministry. And we thank the Lord for these men of God. Amen.
Before I read that scripture, I want to read a part of another scripture from Obadiah. It says this in 1:3. You don't have to turn there, but you may want to write it down. Obadiah 1:3. The pride of your heart have deceived you. Now that's where I'm getting this message from. The pride of your heart have deceived you. See, pride is a deceiver. It's a great deceiver. It will deceive a person and they don't even know they're deceived. That's how strong pride is. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, it says this, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Let us pray. Our Father, today I pray the Holy Spirit would pour out His blessings upon every person in this church, upon the pastor, upon his family, upon this ministry, Lord. I pray Your blessings on this church. Lord, we do thank You for what Jesus Christ did for us. We glorify His name. We praise Him. We honor Him. And we thank You, Lord, for that wonderful relationship we have with You. Now, Father, we thank You that You sent the Holy Spirit back to earth to us. And we thank You for His help and guidance in this life. Now, Father, today may the Holy Spirit flow into everybody's life that needs to hear from You. And to be led by the Spirit, they may need an answer or something in their life. And Lord, we're going to thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it says this, only by pride. Now listen, this is important to understand. Only by pride cometh contention. Strife comes because pride comes first. Pride says, I'm not going to back down. I may be wrong, but I'm not going to back down. So that's the reason the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And when you have two people or three people or a dozen people who won't back down on anything. And now here's the thing, especially if they're wrong. Right? Especially if they're wrong. He says, comes contention. And contention, just a good word for fighting, arguing, disputing. Strife. See, when pride rises up, and let me tell you something, you may be born again. You may have prayed this morning when you got up. You may have read the Bible. You may have praised the Lord during the worship service. But old brother pride lives in the flesh realm. He's in there. You may have him suppressed. You may have pushed him down real low and you don't see him today, but he can come up today or tomorrow or the next week. If you don't believe it, you go out on the highway and some idiot come up behind you and blowing his horn. You're driving the speed limit, but yet he's giving you some signals and signs and facial expressions. Pride can come up real quick. But now listen, only by pride comes contention. See, there's where you're going to have to use wisdom. Now listen, look at that scripture. He says, but with the well-advised, is wisdom. So you're only going to have a few minutes, some cases a few seconds to yield to your flesh, your mind, your emotions, or you're going to yield to wisdom that comes out of your spirit. So you don't have long. I mean, just like that, something can crop up. Something can come up real quickly, and you're going to have to make a decision which direction you're going. But old brother pride lives in that flesh, that emotional realm, and it's just waiting to get out and fight or argue or dispute with something or somebody. He's down there, but you're going to have to keep him suppressed. Paul says, keep the old man pushed down. Keep that old man pushed and keep the new man, and keep him in its right place. Now turn your Bibles to verse 13, Proverbs 13, verse 10. Just go over a few scriptures, Proverbs 13, 10. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to read the King James Version before I go to another scripture. But the New King James Version says this, by pride comes nothing but strife. See, pride produces nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. This verse is almost identical to the other verse, but it has just a little bit different flavor to it. But Proverbs 16 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, before an argument, before a dispute, before strife can really get a hold of anything, he says, pride goeth before that. Pride goes right up before that. Pride comes before that. See, pride comes into the picture before there's arguments, there's strife, there's disputings, there's rock throwing, there's fist punching, there's all kinds of cursing going on. And you see, you're going to always have to, I don't care how sanctified you are, you're going to always have to be on the alert for Brother Pride, because he's there. And he's just waiting to get up. Just somebody give you the wrong look, the wrong stare, the wrong impression, pride will just jump right out. He'll try to take over your mind, your emotions. He'll try to take over your actions. He'll try to take over your facial actions, your facial expressions. What do they mean by that? What did they mean by that? Why did they say it that way? Maybe they're just having a bad day. But pride doesn't look at it that way. Pride looks at it one way. I've come to produce. He says only by pride comes contention, strife, arguments. See, pride only comes for one purpose. You know, Satan was kicked out of heaven because of pride. He said, I'm going to be greater than God. I'm going to just take his position. I'm going to take over his kingdom. You know, pride tries to take over, push people out of jobs, push people out of their wherever they've been put. You know, pride will come in. I can do better than they can do. I can sing better than they can. I can do better than they can do. But did you know pride cannot see itself the way it really is? A person who walks in pride never sees themselves the way they really are. You see, because pride is a great deceiver. Now, pride will cause you to harden your heart. Over a period of time, a person can harden their heart. You know, like Pharaoh, he hardened his heart, and he didn't see that God meant serious business. God sent Moses on an assignment, and God was going to perform that assignment regardless of what Pharaoh wanted to do. But because Pharaoh kept hardening his heart and that pride, he probably thought, well, what would the people think if I give in to this sheep herder here? You see, and that's what the old man pride will do is say, well, you know, if I back down from Robert, what are people going to think about me? You better be thinking about what God's going to think about you. And you better be thinking about what pride will get you into and how. See, once you get into pride, you're going down a road of destruction. And if you go down the road of destruction, it can cost you money, it can cost you time, it can cause you to be put in the hospital, it can cause you to be put in jail. There used to be an old poem, it still is around. It said, you remember the story of Wim Jay? He was maintaining his right of way. He was driving down the road. He said, it was his right as he sped along, but he's just as dead if he was wrong. You see, sometimes you're in the right, they're in the wrong. But if you keep speeding along, you're going to get an accident. And you'll be just as dead if you were wrong. See, wisdom says it's not a matter who's right and it's wrong. Wisdom says I'm going to get my way out of this situation and protect myself and protect my family. You see, wisdom will do that, but pride won't back down. I saw not long ago, you know, where this guy got running from a policeman, had his little teeny children in the back seat of the car. He was running 120 mile an hour down the road. And had an accident. See, pride wouldn't let him stop. Pride, you know, back when in the 60s, you know, some of my friends got killed. The law got after them, and they were just too proud to let go of that pedal. That fat couldn't let go of that pedal, you know. Had to hold down on that pedal because you ain't catching me. I'm telling you right now, you're not catching me.
No, but that curve caught him and he died. And he's just as dead if he was right or wrong. You know, it didn't matter at that point. You understand, pride comes for the very purpose of contention, strifes, arguments, problems. It'll carry you down a road you don't want to go. Look, pride wants to be seen that I'm right, they're wrong. Pride, it lifts a person up, I'm right, they're wrong. I'm right, and they need to know I'm right, and I'm going to tell them they're wrong. You see what I mean? Pride goes, it gets more contentious as you get into an argument. It gets stronger as you get into an argument. And listen, you can go into a place, you can start going into a place, and then all of a sudden demon spirits get involved, and then you don't care what somebody thinks. You don't care if you do go to jail. You don't care if the police do shoot you. You don't care if that person does. You're going to prove a point one way or the other. You see what I'm talking about? Pride goes from one stage to another stage to another stage to another stage until it gets so out of control it cannot be controlled. The only thing that controls pride is what? Wisdom that comes from God. That is the only thing that can harness pride. Did you know that? The wisdom that comes from God is the only thing that can capture and harness and bring pride in its proper place. See, when I come to a place that I say I'm more, I want to please God more than I want to please myself. I want to please God more than I want to prove to anybody I'm right. I want to please God and I'm going to remain cool. I'm going to remain calm. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. They can think whatever they want. I'd rather please God than to please myself and try to prove a point. See, pride is a great deceiver. You know, if you look at in Proverbs, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, not stupidity. See, I grew up in my earlier days. I lived in that realm, so I know something about it. I could teach you a message on stupidity right now and just go right on to the ninth service. Go right on through the meal, right on. Because stupidity is the very opposite of wisdom, I can tell you that. But pride, you have to watch out for it. You know why? Because it'll pop up where you don't expect it. It's something you don't see coming. It's something you don't know that's about to happen. But the enemy will set you up and try to put you in a place where all of a sudden, there he is, it pops up. Now you're going to have to make a decision. But the Bible says, with the well-advised is wisdom. You see, who are we going to take our instructions from? Our mind, our emotions? Are we going to take our instructions from God, from God's Word? Or are we going to let our emotions tell us what to do? And I'm telling you, your emotions will get you in trouble. Now, they're good in their proper place. Now, let me say this. Pride will not allow you to see clearly or see yourself the way other people see you. Did you know that? I'm going to repeat that because that's really good. Pride will not allow you to see clearly. You don't see things clearly when you walk in pride. You know why? Because you walk in selfishness. And selfish people never, ever really are a blessing to people. You know why? Because they're living in themselves so much they don't consider other people. They don't consider other people's feelings. They don't consider what other people are going through. They only consider themselves and what they want. So pride is something that will, if it swallows you up, it'll ruin your life. Or it will not allow you to see yourself the way other people see you. Did you know, I've heard this statement over and over again, you know, people say, if that person could only see themselves the way other people see them, they would change. Because a lot of people think they can sing and they can't sing. A lot of people think they can dance and they can't dance. I'm telling you, they cannot dance. You see, but in their eyes, they're ready for American Idol, whatever it was, American Idol. They're going to be the next star.
And they literally see themselves that way. They literally believe they're that talented and gifted, and you can't talk them out of it because pride has got hold of them. Pride has overwhelmed them. Pride is so taken over their life that it's controlling them, and they cannot see clearly. And it's ruining their life. It's taking them in an area they don't belong. They're trying to fill positions they cannot do because they're not talented or gifted in that area, and they cannot stand up under the pressure that's going to come against them, but they think they can. You know, I give an illustration. I heard of a man that was going to take a church. He had never pastored a church in his life. He was a gifted evangelist. And that's what he was, an evangelist. And this large church, now I've had opportunities to take some big churches, but I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm a prophet, operating the prophet's anointing, so I don't pastor. And I'm not going to pastor, and I'll never pastor, because that's not my calling. Now, I did temporarily years ago because I had to work my way into ministry, you know, and you grow, and it's a temporary thing. But anyway, I heard, and I knew that man, and I heard that he was going to take this church, and I told my wife, I said, now he'll never be able to handle that church, first of all, because he's not gifted as a pastor. You understand? And second of all, he's never pastored. He has no experience in pastoring. And this church run about 700-800 people. And I didn't go tell him. It wasn't any of my business. The Lord didn't tell me or anoint me to go tell him. He took it. He thought he could handle it. But you understand, pride will not let you see things right. It'll not let you see things clearly. Pride will not let you admit to the fact, I don't belong in no 900-seat church. I should have one of 10 people. Now, how many pastors you ever say, I'm anointed to pastor 15 people. I know my calling, 15 people. No, they don't ever think like that. I've never heard any minister, not even myself when I started out. I always thought I want a big one, you know, until I got one. Then I didn't want that one. Let's reduce it down to get it smaller, Lord. Lord, it ain't small enough. Get it smaller than that. All the headaches you have sometimes. There's a lot of joy, but a lot of headaches. But anyway, within a year and a half, he got under such pressure, he collapsed. They carried him to the hospital. He stayed in the hospital for weeks trying to recover, got a staph disease, and almost died because of that. You see, I have to come to a place. And I have to say, well, I can't sing, or I'm a fair singer, you know, I'm just average. I'm not great. I can be a blessing because it's going to come from my heart and I'm going to sing a good song. But I'm never going to be an American Idol. You understand what I'm talking about? It'll never happen. I can say, I can play the piano, but not good, only average. I'll never be a great piano player because I'm not really gifted at it. I just sort of learn it on my own. You understand pride, but pride won't allow you to see these things or see the truth about your life unless you walk in the gifts you have and the talents you have and the ability you have and the knowledge you have at that level you're at. You'll never, ever enjoy life because you'll always be under pressure. Because you're that pressure, you see, that you're not gifted or knowledge that way, or you don't have that kind of experience, that pressure will destroy you eventually. You see? Because if you look at the Bible talks about, you know, patience works experience, experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, you see. See, it's a growing process. You can go from faith to faith, glory to glory. You can go from one level to another level, from one area of knowledge to another area of knowledge. You see, as you grow, your gifts grow, your talents grow, your knowledge grows, your experience grows, and you can be put in a different place and a different level of management or whatever it is because of that growth. But you also have to look at reality and say to yourself, I've gone as far as I can go in this particular area, and I'm going to stay in this area until the Lord calls me into another area. You see? You know, now, a lot of people may not believe this, but I had an opportunity to pastor a church, and I'm not going to say where it's at. They asked me, would I take this church? It's only been a few years ago. And the pastor made $110,000 a year. Yeah. And his wife made $80,000 a year. And I was making peanuts at the time. Peanuts. Just peanuts. And I had to give some of them to the elephants, you know, the peanuts. And see, you have a temptation or a pressure that'll try to come to you. Now, I didn't. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because I know my gift. I know my calling. I know where I'm at. I know where God's called me. That's where I'm going to live and die in. I'd rather never have all the treasures of this earth and displease God or get in an area to where I don't belong and get under pressure and then that pressure destroy me. You understand? It's not worth it. I enjoy life. I get up. I enjoy life every day. I have my trials and battles and things to fight. But I can honestly say I enjoy life. You know why? Because I'm where I'm at. I'm not any higher than I'm supposed to be, and I'm not any lower than I'm supposed to be. I don't try to push my ministry, and I don't try to drag it around. I stay day by day where the Lord's got me, and that's where I want to stay in. And I'm not interested in going any higher than what the Lord wants me to go. And if the Lord doesn't finance it, I'm not going to go out and try to pull it in to try to create it. You understand? Because if God does not finance it, He doesn't want you to do it. You need to accept that. We got today, we got all these ministries fighting for that money out there. And they're coming up with all kinds of schemes and things, doing all kinds of things to get that money in. Where in reality, they ought to back off a little bit and just stay on a level that's easy to raise the money, easy to get the support in, and quit trying to, listen, you're going to have a lot of them going to fall by the wayside. Some of them already have failed by the wayside. Because when you build the house, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, the labor laboreth in vain. God could care less, and I told a pastor that not long ago, that you have a church of 1,000. He's just as pleased with you, with the group you have, as he is the man with 1,000 or 10,000. When I stand before God, God ain't going to say, oh, you old mighty man of God, you had the biggest church in the world, and I was so pleased at you. He could care less about how large your church is. Obedience is the greatest sacrifice you ever give God. You know, when the prophet came to Saul, he said, Saul, when you were small in your own eyes, God said you were big in His eyes. But when you tried to let pride get in there and tried to become something you were not, and you got to doing things you were not supposed to, he said, God snatched the kingdom away from you. Did, took His kingdom away. Pride. Wouldn't let him back down. Even when the prophet came to him and talked to him and said, Samuel, Saul, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. But he wasn't back down. He held his ground and he lost his kingdom. And then not only that, jealousy got in. And he got trying to destroy David because David was anointed to be king. And then see where that road carries you? It took his life down he died in battle, you know. He even killed himself at the very end. And I'll tell you right now, I'd rather sit around and go and drink coffee and eat donuts than to kill myself. I'd rather go to Dunkin' Donut and get me a good cup of coffee and drink a donut rather than to be trying to hang myself. And I tell you right now, I have never had a desire to stick a sword in my stomach to get rid of myself. Never. I eat a donut. That might do it one day, but that'll be it.
That's a slow day.
But it's a good one. I love it. I love it. I had one yesterday. Going to get one today, too, before it's over with. But see, pride will destroy you, and you don't realize how it'll do it. Pride will destroy relationships. It destroys harmony between fellow brethren in the churches, jobs, homes, between man and wife, between wife and children and husbands. And It just destroys. Pride comes only for the very reason of bringing contention and a haughty spirit. You know, James says God gives grace, but God resists the proud. But God gives grace unto the humble. You have to humble yourself. You have to come down and say, listen, I am not the only person here in this house, or I'm not the only person in this job, or I'm not the only person in this church, and I'm willing to do what I can do and let other people do whatever they do, and I'm not going to try to take over the place and do what I shouldn't do. But anyway, I'm going to move along here. Jesus said this. Now listen real clearly. He said, Jesus said this, I always do those things that please Him. Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. I always do that. He's our example. Now look, you may can win the argument by pushing, and pushing your way, but is it worth it? Is it worth it to win the argument or win the fight or you hold your ground? Now, you do hold your ground on spiritual truths and on the Word of God and spiritual things. But you do it with the right spirit, the right attitude, the right tone of voice. But Jesus said, now listen to this real closely now. I always do those things that please the Father. Now, he challenged people and, he even called people hypocrites and vipers and various things, but he was doing it with the right spirit and the right attitude. And he wasn't doing it to try to hurt them. He was trying to get them to open their eyes up to see the kind of life they were living. So there's a difference. Anytime you deal with anybody, you need to question your motives. You need to look at it and examine it and say, now, am I about to say this in the right way? Am I about to say it in a way that they can receive it? Am I going to say this in a way that's going to help them and not hurt them? You see, just because I get a word from the Lord don't mean I'm supposed to go and just push that word off on somebody. You understand? I'll get a word from people, for certain people. I'll see my visions and the Lord will tell me to go tell people things. But sometimes I'll take days and weeks and pray over it before I deliver it to them, because there may be some things in there that are sort of hard, sort of hard from them. That it's true and it's truth and that truth's going to set them free. But pride, see, I know pride lives on the other end of that person. It's in there. Or they wouldn't be in the place they are. They wouldn't be doing some of the things they're doing. But see, I want to go and help them. I don't want to just say, thus saith the Lord, like Moses. Thus saith God. I've come up here to correct thee. And if you don't, you're going to die. That's Moses talking, That's Moses. But we're not to be Moseses, right? We're to please the Father, and to please the Father, you do it in love. We're not Old Testament Christians and Old Testament saints. We're New Testament believers, and the commandment is to walk in love, to speak in love, to talk in love, to do whatever we do in love. And the purpose is not to show out or show off, and just because you got a word from God, no, it's to try to help that person and be a blessing to that person. And you see, and if you don't do it with the right motives, God will be displeased at you even though you gave the message. So it's important to be real careful about how you deliver messages. Now I have to deliver some real hard messages sometimes to people, but I really, really, really try to do my best to do it in a way that's received. Now there's some that got some real hard heads. And you have to be forceful about it, but I'm willing to do that. But I'm still going to do it in the right spirit. See, deal with everything in the right spirit. It's the tone of your voice. It's the action of your body. It's the look in your eyes when you do it sometimes. See, God gives more grace, but God will always resist the proud. And see, if you have a proud heart, and pride can get up in anything, And if you let pride take over, it'll mess your life up. It'll take joy right out of your life, because God will resist you. Now, you can get right back on track, though, thank God, because all of us have stumbled. All of us have got off in areas we didn't belong. All of us have said things we ought not to say. All of us have done things we ought not to do, and thank God for His mercy and His grace. Now, I'm closing down here. But you know, James says that if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and he's able also to bridle his old body. He said, if any man offend not in word. Now listen, he says, in many things we offend all. See, sometimes you offend people and you don't mean to do it. I mean, I may bump into somebody and I didn't mean to do it. I may pull out in front of somebody and I just didn't see them. I didn't mean to do that. He says, in many things you offend all. But if any man offend not in word, if any man offend not in word, did you know words are the most offensive things on the earth? I mean, you can do things, say things, act different ways, and people may overlook it. But if you say something to them they don't like, brother, they'll hold on to it sometime 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I heard a man say that he wrote a letter to somebody, you know, going, you know, and he put something in there, you know, he said pride got hold of him, so he made himself look good and sort of put them down. And he wrote that letter to them, and they turned around on the back of the page and wrote back, your stupidity is only exceeded by your stupidity, and signed their name to it and sent it back. And he said, when he read that letter, he said, boy, he said, rage just flew up in his eyes. And he said, 20 years later, when that guy died, he said he found himself rejoicing that he was dead. And then he realized the kind of life he was living. Pride had taken over his whole entire life. You understand how it took over his life? He couldn't even see himself the way he really was. That man saw it, but he didn't see it. See, you can think you're friendly, but other people see you unfriendly if you're not careful. You know, you may not be as friendly as you think you are. You see, so it's important to examine yourself, examine your heart, examine your emotions, examine your motives, examine your personality, examine the way you smile, the way you grin, the way you look. You know, you understand, it's important if you want to enjoy life. The Bible, Peter said, if any man would love life, let him refrain his tongue, and if he would see good days, he'll have to speak those things that are good. And like I say, it doesn't mean you don't bring correction to your children or whatever. Correction is important in the right frame of mind, right tone, right spirit. Correction is important. Proverbs says correction is a way of life. Instructions is a way of life. We're constantly being corrected and instructed by God. If you read the Word of God, you're constantly renewing your mind about something. And if you're married, you're constantly renewing your mind because your wife's trying to instruct you on something. Hey, you're going the wrong way. Nah, that ain't the wrong way. You just think it is. And then you end up in China somewhere, you know. Pride cometh, pride goeth before. So stay on the alert. When you get out in that world, I'll guarantee you, whether it's on the road or on the job or some standing in line somewhere or something tried to irritate you, you have to be careful not yield to pride. Yield to wisdom. Yield to wisdom. Don't yield to pride. Thank you, Lord. All right, let us pray. Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. We thank you that your Word is hid in our hearts that we might not sin against you, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to sin against our brethren or against people in the world. Lord, help us to always do those things that please you and not to please ourselves. And Father, we are thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We're thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit on us, inside us, helping us to stay on the alert. Keep a watchful spirit, a watchful eye out for the adversary, Lord, who's seeking someone to devour. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to praise you for it and glorify you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.